This is Radio Times. I'm Artie Moscow-Wayne. What were the musical highlights and lowlights of 2013? Here are a few. Miley Cyrus was the naughty pop star of the year. Beyonce just released a new album without telling her fans and without pre-release fanfare. A few months ago, the Philadelphia Orchestra played an impromptu pop-up concert when their Carnegie Hall performance was canceled at the last minute. Well, today on Radio Times, we've asked three guests with three unique perspectives on the world of music to share their playlists for an end-of-the-year listening session, and all three of them join us here in our Philadelphia studio. Aaron Levinson is a Grammy-winning producer, a record label owner, and he owns Range Recording Studios in Philadelphia. He's also president of Temple University's record label Blue Tower, and that's a student-run record company. And Aaron Levinson, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Thank you.
Also with us is Tom Moon. He plays tenor sax. He's a writer, author of a book that came out not so long ago called 1,000 Recordings to Hear Before You Die. His band Ensemble Novo plays monthly at Time in Center City, Philadelphia. Their new CD is called Blue Night. And you can hear his music reviews on NPR's All Things Considered. And Tom Moon, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Great to be with you.
And also with us is Rich Medina. And he's been spinning records in clubs in Philadelphia and in New York since the 1990s, has been hosting his Jumpin' Funk Afrobeat dance party since 2001. He travels the world with his music, and his next event in Philadelphia is at Johnny Brenda's on Friday, December 27th for a Philly Loves James Brown party. And Rich Medina, great pleasure. Nice to meet you. Nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Honored to be here.
Nice to have all three of you here. Tom, has it been a good year for music, just broadly speaking?
Yes, phenomenal. Miley Cyrus and Beyonce notwithstanding.
Sorry about that. I didn't know. We didn't know where to begin, exactly.
No, but, you know, I mean, my joke about the Beyonce record is the media says, wow, genre, paradigm-shifting delivery method, and the music says straight to DVD.
Ah, yeah. How about from your perspective as a producer? Do you see 2013 as a good year?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think it's an interesting year in the sense that a lot of music that I never would have imagined would find a wider audience has, in fact, found a wider audience. And I think that's one of the interesting kind of monkey wrenches of the new model, is that people can discover things, and it's the opportunity for a meritocracy. It doesn't mean that things don't get polluted by money, but at least there's the option for things that are quite good that otherwise would have been ignored.
Lots and lots of choices out there, yes, for
listening. Maybe too many.
Maybe too many, yes. How about from your perspective, Rich, as a DJ?
I have to agree with both of these guys completely. You know, the opportunity to break through and really have a record stand out from a marketing standpoint and from a musical standpoint, I think 2013 was one of the years in the last few years where there have been more things that have broken through that actually have a high level of songwriting power, high level of musicianship, and people who probably wouldn't have normally gotten a commercial radio shake are opening up that door a little bit. So I think in that sense, it's making the ground very fertile.
So much to celebrate in 2013. And we gave you the very difficult task of picking three songs that you wanted to share with our listeners. And I know that's a hard thing to ask. And Aaron, let me begin with you. You picked No Love Dying from Gregory Porter's new album called Liquid Spirit. Before we listen to this, tell us why you picked it. I think I know, but go ahead.
Well, A, because I think that at least in my own estimate, the idea of somebody singing jazz in the 21st century is a pretty alien idea. Largely, it's people retreading, like, this person sounds like Billie Holiday. This person is ripping off Tony Bennett. This is, like, Gregory Porter, for me, he has a unique voice. He's a very interesting writer, just as a writer per se, as a lyricist. And I was impressed that he wrote music that, at least to me, didn't sound like he had a tin cup out. He was writing the music that he wanted to write, and he was sending out the messages that he wanted to send out. And there was a sort of authority to it that I really respected.
Well, on that note, let's listen to No Love Dying from Gregory Porter's new album, Liquid Spirit.
There will be no love
that's dying here. The bird that flew in through my window simply lost his way. He broke his wing, I helped him heal, and then he flew away. Well, the death of love is everywhere, but I won't let it be. There will be no love that's dying here for me. There will be no love that's dying here. The mirror that fell from the wall was raggedy, that's all. It rests up on a rusty nail before it made its fall. Well, the bones of love are everywhere, but I won't let it be. There will be no love that's dying here for me. There will be no love that's dying here for flowers in.
And that was, that is, I should say, Gregory Porter's new album, Liquid Spirit, a song called No Love Dying, and a song that our guest Aaron Levinson picked as one that he really liked in the year 2013. And while we were listening, there was a bit of naysaying from you, Tom Moon. Go ahead.
Well, I quite like his voice, and the record is very well made in that traditional sort of jazz singer way. He's arrayed around a very attentive rhythm section, all that. But as a writer, I only think he has a couple of songs here. Mm-hmm. And this is, we are so desperate for a jazz voice that there's grating on the curve in a way going on. Like, people want, you know, people are hungry for the next Oscar Brown Jr. People are hungry for another sort of great singer with, as Aaron said, and he's right, his own perspective and take on the world. And I feel like we got that on a couple of things on this record, but not all the way through.
Yeah, and Richard, we were saying, I mean, when I first heard this, honestly, I just melted when I heard his voice.
Yeah, he has an amazing voice, and he has an amazing presence as a performer. But I think that with jazz as a genre, what you find with jazz compared to other genres of music is that you need to have a full album's worth of power in order for the commercial acclaim to follow, whereas in R&B or hip-hop or even independent rock, you can become a star off of a single.
Right.
So there's a kind of a crossing of streams of styles of presentation that's going on, whether by default or whether by desire.
Makes sense to you, Aaron?
It does. I mean, like you did, I was seduced by this guy's voice. I'm like, this guy has an extraordinary instrument. But I do have to agree with Tom that, you know, I was not persuaded that there is an album's worth of A-level material here. But he's somebody that I really want to point out to people because I believe there's greatness in Gregory Porter.
We'll get a great record without from him at some point. I believe that.
I would buy that record. Rich, you picked something, that, and we're going to play about a minute and a half into this, and I want you to say it because I'm afraid I'm going to butcher all this on the air. What are we going to listen to?
One of the tunes I picked is a tune called Nakamura, and it's from a group called Hiatus Coyote, which is based in Melbourne, Australia. I was actually turned on to this group by my manager, Scott Barkham, and he was turned on by them enough to seek them out on his own and ended up developing a co-management deal with them and eventually ended up getting them signed to Sony through Salaam Remy. So not only is it a record that I love front to back, but we're kind of on the same team. So, you know, always give the ball to your teammates.
Indeed. And that's from a guy who used to play basketball, right? I know a little bit about you. Let's listen to this and we can talk about it.
Nakamura, sweet red earth will hold you like the strength you bless to me. True, we engage humility. Watch me struggle with your words. I wear the truth. Oh, they may. Your brain, how to shine. I love you.
picked that up about a minute and a half into Nakamura. And the singer that we're hearing, her name is...
Her name is Napalm.
Napalm.
N-A-I, Palm. And she is a bundle of energy. Very, very brave vocalist. Very mature to be under 25 years old.
Is she? Wow.
And to play guitar the way she does in front of such a young band, the playfulness in her voice, I think the braveness of the subject matter, I think the demeanor changes and the time signature changes in this record are significant throughout the entire album, and you just don't get that type of depth and lushness from a younger band. You know, younger meaning, I believe, everyone in the band is under 30.
Oh, wow. I love that Love You, I. Mm-hmm. I mean, just sort of playing with that. Tom, what did you think of that?
Love it. There's been a lot this year of this kind of, like, produced future soul, whatever you want to call it. It reminded me of one of my favorite records from the year, this guy named Devontae Hines, a mm-hmm. Record called Cupid Deluxe. The band was Blood Orange, and it's sort of not the exact same world, but it has overlap, and the production environment where things are very clean, but there's a lot of true energy and sort of grit in the vocal performances, and this was fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. Well, let's take a very short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation. We're having a listening session in this hour of Radio Times, looking back on some of the music of 2013. The voice you just heard, Tom Moon, he's a musician, a writer. You probably hear his music reviews on NPR's All Things Considered. Rich Medina is a DJ here in Philadelphia, also in New York, and also with us is Aaron Levinson, and he's a producer, a record label owner. Say that quickly. We're going to take a very short break and then get back to our conversation. Also, Tom has a pick we're going to play right after this very short break. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
The sound of these voices means Christmas for so many people around the world. The men and boys of the choir of King's College, Cambridge, as they create magic each year with a festival of 9 lessons and carols. I'm Michael Barone. Don't miss our live broadcast from England on Christmas Eve morning from American Public Media.
Tomorrow morning at 10 on WHYY.
You have the perfect gift for everyone, but what about yourself? Give yourself the gift of a last-minute tax deduction. Support WHYY now to help us end the year on a high note. Whether you give a sustaining gift, have your employer match your gift, donate your car, or make a direct IRA rollover to WHYY, time is running out to make a tax-deductible donation. Explore the many ways to support WHYY. Call 1-888-345-WHYY or visit whyy.org/support.
I'm Robin Young. Next time on Here and Now, our Song of the Week guy, Stephen Thompson, invites us to Christmas at the airport.
Outside the taxi window, on the way to catch my flight.
That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
This afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscowain. Again, talking with Rich Medina, Tom Moon, and Aaron Levinson about some of the music that they have enjoyed in the year 2013. And we asked each of them to bring in a couple of tunes to play on the air. And Tom, now it's your turn, and you picked a very interesting version of a Johann Sebastian Bach sonata.
Yeah, Chris Thiele, the guy from the Punch Brothers, who plays mandolin and actually several instruments, is one of these omnivores of music that we see all over the place. And when this record arrived, I was like, can someone do this? Take music written for the violin, which of course allows for slurs and lots of singing musical devices, to the mandolin, which doesn't sustain. There's no way to phrase the way you would phrase on a violin. on the mandolin, and he does this in a way that I think is just stunning. He thinks about every phrase that Bach has, and he shapes it in a way that makes you hear it all over again. So this is like one of those where you thought you knew Bach. Listen to this.
And this is the beginning of a 16th Sonata, number 2 in A minor, and let's listen. Thiele, is it? Mm-hmm. Thiele? And again, the beginning of 16th Sonata, number 2 in A minor by Johann Sebastian Bach. And Aaron, you were just shaking your head as you were listening to him play, well, on a mandolin, no less.
Well, let me tell you something, which is that in the world of people that traditionally play this music, there's an old joke, which is you spend half your time tuning the mandolin and the other half of the time playing the mandolin out of tune. So
that's hard.
I don't think people appreciate how fiendishly difficult it is to play that instrument with the kind of intonation and sort of cleanliness that this guy is executing.
And musicality, right?
And musicality. And I say this in all seriousness, it approaches the superhuman. I mean, it is an absolutely awe-inspiring take on a work, and is a tribute to his inventiveness as a person, that he would take the task on, as Tom said, of adapting something that was written for a different instrument, mm-hmm, and making it compelling and meaningful. I can't say enough about it, really.
What did you hear, Rich? I'm curious.
I don't think I could have said it better than Aaron just said. I mean, you would think after all these years of listening to music and programming music, you develop a level of jadedness and you kind of pass things off if they're unfamiliar. And, you know, in 2013, the idea of sitting through an overture, even though it's Bach or any of the other great composers, but then, as Aaron said, to have it interpreted, mm-hmm, to an instrument as difficult as a mandolin and to present it with that level of virtuosity is just breathtaking.
Well, and there's some, I mean, you can do anything to Bach, it seems. I mean, you can play it on anything, you know, glasses of water, if you wanted to do that.
Yeah.
Tom, you said this was a good year for Bach.
Yeah, there's a wonderful new recording of the Goldberg Variations by Jeremy Denk, the great pianist, and it comes with a video, sort of a press kit, where he explains what he's hearing in the music, and his discussion of the Goldberg is wonderful. It's a way to, like, sort of learn. You almost learn without knowing you're learning about it. Mm. It's that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. I mean, people should really look it up.
All three of you have connections here to Philadelphia. Is there something about Philadelphia that creates a certain kind of music? I'm looking at you, Aaron.
Well, I think it's undeniable. First of all, we're home to one of the great institutions, which is Curtis, for producing virtuosos. And with all due respect to Juilliard, you can pay money to go to Juilliard. You cannot pay money to go to Curtis. So it's a very different animal.
Yeah.
And you set that right alongside of what I believe Philadelphia is, with all due respect to New York, the birthplace of the great architects of modern jazz. We have a tradition that's really kind of unlike anybody else's.
And for a DJ, I know you're not a native here.
No, I'm not a native, but I've been here 21 years, and I've been able to absorb a great deal of the fabric, partially through my relationship with guys like Aaron. And as a transplant, one of the things that sticks out for me the most is that Philadelphia is one of the most sincerely blue-collar cities in the United States. And I think that that get up and go get it type of work ethic fundamentally translates across music, whether it's rock music, gospel, R&B, jazz. I think that there's a particular everyday personness to the average music student here. They're not, you don't have some of the same distractions as other cities. So when you have something to focus on, the city of Philadelphia will allow you your space to focus on it.
And you're absolutely right, Rich.
I think the musicians that do focus in that way bring it out in a very particular
That's
fashion.
Interesting. Tom, you're
Yeah, there's a lot of depth here, too, so that as you focus, you can find people that will help you grow. The scene at its root is very fertile, and that goes from churches to the universities to, as Aaron mentioned, Curtis. And what happens when there's an enormous amount of talent and playing going on, whether it's happening in places where people are getting paid or not, that's another issue.
Sure.
But this idea of that much just energy that's sort of in the place every day, out of that comes some extraordinary projects that I think 20 years from now, we will look back on the people that are here right now and go, wow, all that was in the city at the same time. It's sort of staggering like that.
And that's Tom Moon. He's a musician, a writer, author. He does music reviews for NPR's All Things Considered. He has a band called Ensemble Novo here in Philadelphia. Also with us, DJ Rich Medina. And he has been spinning records in clubs in Philadelphia, also this place called New York. Since the 1990s, hosts his own Jumpin' Funk Afrobeat dance party since 2001. Aaron Levinson is a Grammy-winning producer. He's the owner of Range Recording Studios here in Philadelphia. He's also the president of Temple University's record label run by students called Bell Tower. And I do want to get back to our music. And Aaron, you picked an excerpt of a Haim title track of Bryce Dessner's new album, a collaboration with the string quartet, Kronos Quartet. Do you want to talk a bit about that?
I do, because I think that most people are probably unaware that Bryce Dessner is the co-founder of a band called The National, which is an extremely successful, they were top five Rolling Stone album of the year band. I've seen them play live. They're extraordinary. Talented guys, and I frankly was unaware of them. I was unaware of Bryce's background. Turns out he has a master's degree in composition and guitar performance from Yale, and a good friend of mine, Patrick Islin, brought this record over to my house and said, I think you need to listen to this. And we sat down on the couch and I listened to this record and I was like, wait a minute, this is the guy from The National? Like, it was cognitive dissonance at its, like, zenith. I was like, what is going on here? And it's an entire suite, really. Achaim means homeward in Yiddish. And it's sort of a piece about his grandmother's journey from Poland to the New World, if you will. And you know, Kronos is one of those bands that if you're into new music, they're sort of a bit long in the tooth. They've been around since 1973, so they've been at it for quite some time. And I was impressed by the energy that they invested this music with, that they really sounded excited to play it. It's not for everybody.
No. But it's interesting. Let's get. But it is for us.
But it is
and
for
it
us.
Is for you, Aaron.
Boom, boom.
On that note, let's listen.
We'll be right back.
again an excerpt of Aheim, the title track of Bryce Dessner's new album, a collaboration with the string quartet Kronos Quartet. And we let that run a little long because there's just so much going on in there. Yeah. Rich, what did you hear?
What I hear is a group of extremely high-level black belt string musicians enjoying what they're doing.
Yeah.
As a student of music, my study of classical music is relatively new. It wasn't something that was part of my fabric growing up. So as I've come into my own and I've begun to study it more, I find almost everything I hear in that department very interesting. But this is... obviously, you're dealing with superior musicianship here.
What about you, Tom?
Well, I like it a lot. When I first heard it, I was like, well, this is great. This is someone who's of the rock generation and of coming from the rock world, who's contending with Steve Reich's notions of stasis and the things moving over a long period of time, like stretching out over a long period of time. And I have to say, I hear very much the harmonic architecture that is in the National songs. I think that National record from this year, it was called Trouble Will Find Me, is that was on my list of one of the 10 best for me. I listen to that record a lot, and part of what I love about Bryce's writing in general, regardless of what field, is that he's not going to just give you the 1-4-5 kind of stock chord progression we hear a lot. Even when he does that in this piece we just heard, like he hangs on one chord for a long time, there's little stuff happening that sort of takes it out of the realm of conventional. And that's what the National does too. And that they made a great record this year.
Rich, let me go back to you. You picked the title track, actually, of Omar's 2013 album called The Man. Anything you want to say before we listen to this?
To me, Omar LaFouque is a bit like the Dos Equis guy. You know, the guy's just... I want to know, like, what are you doing?
Exactly,
you know,
right?
Like, what do you do on a Monday morning, bro? Like, when you're done with your kids, yeah, what is your point of entry to things that you consider... Yeah. Intriguing, you know. I mean, he brings that energy, you know. I think that there's a casual, laid back nature to his delivery that's buttressed by a very strong musical bass as a keyboard player, and despite being a low tenor, almost to baritone, having a very, very interesting range in his voice.
Well, let's listen. This is The Man.
I like it. So wild, some things that I should not have done, just trying to be the man. The man, 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 the man, yeah. Ooh, then something happened to me. Love taught me to calm right down. But that thing I was thinking of made me become a man. This is it, something real. Let's get on, don't wanna waste time. I found up and know it's something meant to be me. I don't wanna be the same, but I feel the need deep in me.
And that's an excerpt of the title track from Omar's 2013 album, The Man, and a song that our guest, Rich Medina, picked. And I have to say to our listeners, as soon as we all started listening, everyone went bonkers in this room, including you, Tom Moon.
Yeah, I really think, first of all, I've loved Omar for a long time. I think Gregory Porter needs this record immediately. This guy on his first record did sing a lot of jazz, you know, had jazz influences all throughout, and he kind of got lumped into that thing with D'Angelo where he was like one of these sort of new soul singers, and he's that for sure, but as we just heard, harmonically and the way he thinks in terms of orchestrations, well beyond that.
Yeah, what did you hear, Aaron?
You're one
of the other people went bonkers in here.
No, I agree with Tom. I think that from a musical perspective, just texturally, he's doing interesting things, too. It's not just the harmonic motion in it. I disagree with Tom. I think Gregory is still a better writer on a literary level. I believe that there's more rootedness in Gregory's writing of African-American language. Mm-hmm. I mean, when he uses the term, a raggedy mirror fell from the wall. I mean, that's, I don't hear that.
Right.
Do you know what, and
absolutely.
Rusty.
And that's an Americanism. It is an Americanism.
I was talking about him at writing in terms of chords. Chord structure and
I acknowledge that, but I'm still saying that I think that there's a difference there from a literary voice.
I like that. You were telling me that's an oboe bass kind of working together.
An electric
underneath.
Bass and an oboe playing the same line on top of it, and it's just the tone that you get with those two together is it's striking enough to make you listen to the tune without everything that's so beautiful about what Omar brings to it as a vocalist.
That's Rich Medina, who joins us along with Tom Moon and Aaron Levinson, playing some of the music that they have enjoyed this year. We're going to take a very short break, and we'll get back to our conversation. And Tom has picked out a song for us after this short break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Support for WHYY comes from Delaware Valley College, offering accelerated degree completion programs in business administration. Evening and online classes begin January 13th, with 7-week blended classes beginning January 7th and March 4th. Courses leading to bachelor's degrees in biology, chemistry, criminal justice, and ecology are also available at night at Del Val. More information about Del Val's continuing education offerings is available online at delval.edu/CE.
Slayer is one of the most influential bands of all time, changing the sound of metal with its intensity and its speed. And now we finally ask, just how did they get so fast?
Remember, we were young. Adrenaline, testosterone, it just sped up to a point where, hey, this feels good.
That's Slayer drummer Dave Lombardo. He and bandmate Kerry King join us to talk about metal, Satan, and Tipper Gore this week on Sound Opinions.
Tonight at 10 on WHYY.
On the next Fresh Air, Mark Olson and Will Sheffer. They're the creators of the new HBO series Getting On, which finds dark humor in an extended care wing of a hospital. Many of the scripts come from their own experiences taking care of their elderly mothers.
We go through our scripts, and we can usually assign etiology. This is a 90% I experience it. This is a 10% you experience that.
Join us.
This afternoon at 3, and again tonight at 7 on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoen talking with Rich Medina. He's a DJ. He's been spinning records in clubs in Philadelphia and New York for about two decades now. He's been hosting his Jumpin' Funk Afrobeat dance party since 2001. He has an event coming up on Friday, December 27th at Johnny Brenda's A Philly Loves James Brown Party. Also with us, Tom Moon. He plays tenor sax. He's a writer. You've probably heard his music reviews on NPR's All Things Considered. His band Ensemble Novo plays monthly at Time in Center City, Philadelphia. They have a new CD called Blue Night. And also with us, Aaron Levinson. He's the owner of Range Recording Record Studios here in Philadelphia. He's a Grammy-winning producer and again, or I should say as well, president of Temple University's record label, a student-run label called Blue Tower. Tom, you picked the son of Ali Fakatore's a piece called Safari from his 2013 album Mon Pays. He's calling himself Vieux, meaning old, right. Farcatore.
Right, but he's young. He's teamed up with the son of Toumani Diabaté, the great kora player. The son also plays kora. And this is sort of, you know, it's been a long time since I've heard an African pop-leaning record that sort of grabbed me like this. This guy writes, he's not as blues influenced as his father was. Ali Farkatore was one of the great mind melds of all time. He took rural Mississippi blues and infused it in with African music. But this is just pure addictive pop hooks.
Well, let's listen. This is, I guess it's called Safari?
Yes.
That's how we would say it. Let's listen.
Thank you.
And again, an excerpt of Vieux Farcatore's Safari from his 2013 album, Mon Pays. Rich, what did you hear in that?
Besides
really good music.
The kora is an instrument that I've always loved, and I think that, in the tradition of his father, he's following in his footsteps with the exact same musicianship, if not better, from having the opportunity to study from his father.
Yeah.
And for myself, as a student of African music, it's something that I have to go after as soon as we leave here.
You're going to go chase this down.
I need that in my life.
Well, let me go back to you, Aaron, and you pick something. Perhaps you can set it up for us.
Yeah, I picked a record by a group called Ensemble Novo. And
Tom Moon is blushing as we talk.
Well, I would have picked this record irrespective of anything. And I'll tell you why. Because Brazilian music does not really have a repertory ensemble. There is, to my knowledge, no group playing the work of the grand repertoire of Brazil. And I think Tom saw that there was an opportunity for people to be exposed to the extraordinary breadth of what Brazilian writers have done. And no one else was doing it.
Well, let's listen. Excerpt of Boranda, written by Edu Lobo and performed by Ensemble Novo from their 2013 CD, Blue Night, featuring our guest Tom Moon on tenor saxophone. Tom, that really sounded great.
Thank you. That guy wrote some unbelievable music. That song, Boranda, has been covered by the Fania All-Stars and people in many different worlds. And it's just it's like we very rarely hear it in the U.S., but it's kind of a standard in a way.
What is Boranda? What does that mean?
It talks about water. I don't know if it's the actual, it's not the word for water, but the song is about water and its preciousness and the shortages of water around the world.
Wow. Let me go to you, Rich. You picked, Thank You. Set this up for us.
Thank You is a tune on a new mixtape from Busta Rhymes and Q-Tip called The Abstract and the Dragon. And I'm a product of hip-hop culture. I live, eat, sleep, and breathe it day to day. And to be at this point in 2013 and hear two veterans of the rap game, rap is one of the few genres where there is a potential to get old. You can be an old rocker and you're like grapes on a vine. You get better as you go. But with MCing in particular, it takes a particular in-tuneness musically and, without being cliche, in-tuneness with the streets if you will. When I say the streets, I mean what's going on in pop culture, what's going on in current events, and a way to make the points within what you're delivering stand out to somebody who might be 20 to 25 years younger than you. And, you know, I think Busta Rhymes next to Big Daddy Kane is the Zen master of rhyming two beats that are 100 beats per minute or over. And Q-Tip represents what he represents for all of us, whether we know it or not, which is a bit of ubiquity and a particularly chameleon-like ability to adapt under pressure and play to the level of his competition. And I think if you're into lyricists, this record gives you that.
Well, that's a great setup. Let's listen.
Welcome to the bank, where you deposit young money and you get cash money. I'm Tunchy the boss, and live from the vault, it's Bussa Bus.
Yeah. Y'all, swag mania, pop the ghost most, carry the most beautiful with us happily toast. Keep the faculty close, gross when we give them a dose. Got them OD and leaning in each coast, scenery froze. Take notes, rock boats, diamonds that fit us. Chanel minks in the winter, who f***ing with us? We coming to give them the shivers. Water we flow, spilling like rivers. Flooding the street, hoping the swimmers move with gorillas. King Kong's Godzilla's when we roll up. Seat filling, get up when I show up.
Please don't throw up, hold your liquor, grow up. If you're robbing, please go show you how to blow up. Thank your lucky stars, that's the rap's all. Tuck it in, my bite like a rantin'. To my chagrin, you never win. Model 10, walking, cracking your shin. She gives in every time that I spin. Square up, bow down to the kings of the hall. We way gone, talk while we ball. So what's cracking with y'all?
Native New Yorker, the slick talker, keep in order. Call a reporter, stepping like British walkers. Legendary swag fluent, see the influence, see how we do it. Get him into it steadily, got him stupid, so undisputed. Act full, back tool, till they pop off. Police crowd up the street, blocking them off, locking them off. Got these while I signal my soldiers. Bossing it up, maintaining composure, stand on the sofa. 30 bottles, 20 waitresses, bring them over. See how we light up, call a promoter. Tell that, bring the bag, better hurry up with it and count the money up proper. Cause you can get it, you can get it, you can get it, you can get it.
Yeah, I feel good, don't it? I feel good, don't it? Hey, I wanna let y'all know. Hey, I wanna let y'all know. This easy. And you listening to Q-Tip, tip, tip, tip.
Set him up, stiletto up, saddle up and let's go. Good times, only difference making it dope. Chatter is up, peep the way we batter it up.
That's an excerpt of Thank You. This is Busta Rhymes and Q-Tip featuring Kanye West and their new collaborative mixtape, The Abstract and The Dragon. And you liked that, Aaron, yes?
I liked it a lot.
How could I tell?
I don't know. You must be a psychic.
Yeah, really.
Are you Dionne Warwick?
Maybe Miss Cleo.
Maybe Miss Cleo. No, just that, first of all, return to form. You know what I mean? These guys sound really happy to be on this track together.
Yeah.
And, you know, Q-Tip's voice is so unlike anybody else's. He's one of those people, he's like...
Same with Buster.
Same with Buster. They're singularities. Yeah. Like, you don't hear him and go, who could that be?
Yeah. Yeah. That's not true, interestingly, of Kanye. And I think this is so much... Like, I'm sorry, but I feel like Kanye, of course, gets the award for Arrogance of the Year. You know, and his record is sleepy to me. Yeezus, no thank you. You know, I don't need to hear that again. But this idea of these guys are actually contending with them this moment in a way that I think that Kanye just didn't do it on his own work.
Tom, I want you to set up our final piece of next to final piece of music.
Okay.
This is one of your picks.
This is a jazz trio. They're called Dawn of Midi. But they don't really sound like a jazz trio. It's acoustic piano, bass, drums, and they've really sort of reimagined the whole oral landscape of what three people can do together. There's a lot of rhythmic displacement, a lot of what you hear is a lot of interaction. It's improvised, doesn't necessarily even sound improvised, but I couldn't stop listening to this year.
Let's listen.
Thank you.
And that's an excerpt of Nyx from Dawn of Midi's 2013 album, Dysnomia. Tom, I looked up dysnomia in Wikipedia, a condition affecting memory, lawlessness, moon of the dwarf planet Eris, and a genus of freshwater mussel. Does any of that make sense to you?
Well, it certainly is its own environment. and I like the idea of people thinking about how to recontextualize improvised music, because they, you know, they're playing with each other, they're listening in the moment, and they're just coming up with something completely different out of it.
Well, I want to thank all three of you. It was very fun having all three of you with us, especially in studio, to play some of the music that you enjoyed in 2013 and your willingness to share it with us. So thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And again, our guests have been DJ Rich Medina, Tom Moon, musician, writer, and reviewer for NPR's All Things Considered, and producer and record label owner Aaron Levinson. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes, and you can find out much more about this program. Produced by Susan Greenbaum, Patty McMahon, Debbie Builder, and Emily Bryant, with Sophie Reed today and Kevin Griffin, our engineer. We do want to close things out with some more music. We want to close things out with Happy from Pharrell Williams' forthcoming 2014 solo album. Happy is on the soundtrack, believe it or not, to the recent film Despicable Me 2. Let's listen.
Time. Here's why. Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you.